This evening I want to share a lesson with you entitled Following the Steps of Jesus. And this is found in Luke chapter 9, the scriptures that we want to study together tonight in this particular lesson. As we talk this morning about conforming to the image of Jesus, to the image of God's Son. And we talked about various things which characterize Jesus and how it is God's will that we imitate those things in our lives as we conform to his image. And so tonight I want to follow up by talking about, as I've said, following the steps of Jesus. We want to talk about some principles that are that I believe are pointed out and that are found in these verses here. Not necessarily particulars, but some principles that should guide us and help us along the way as we strive to follow and do what Jesus teaches us to do, that we might be pleasing in the sight of God. And so, because our God loves us so, and he wants us to come home one day and to spend eternity with him. He has left us some great teachings in his word so that we might know what it takes for us to get there. And in these verses that we'll be sharing in tonight, I believe we can find and see some great lessons, great principles that are pointed out that can help us in our pursuit of heaven. The Bible says in verse number 57 and 58, "And it came to pass that as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, Foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has not where to lay his head." I want us to notice something about this passage, or these passages. When this man said to the Lord, "I will follow thee whithersoever or wherever thou goest," that Jesus didn't immediately respond back to him by saying, "Come on and follow me." Did you notice that? He didn't immediately respond to him, "Come on and follow me." So I see in this passage, I believe, the principle or the thought or the lesson that should be learned is that to follow Jesus, it takes some serious thought. Jesus wanted this man to seriously consider or seriously think about what he had said. He says again, "I'll follow you whithersoever you go." But then Jesus, as I said, didn't respond by saying, "Okay, come on, let's go." But he responded to him by saying, "You need to really think about what you just said." He says again, "Foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere or not where to lay his head." There are some people who do not really have an idea what being a follower of Christ is all about. And so it's necessary then for them to come to grips of what it really means to follow Jesus. And that's what Jesus wanted this person to know that had said to him, "I'll go with you wherever you go." Jesus says again, "You need to really think about what you said. Because you want to follow me, but the foxes and the birds of the air. From a physical standpoint, they are faring better than me. And yet you say you want to follow me. The foxes have holes. They have dens where they can go in. The birds of the air, he says, they have nests that they can, when they finish flying or they get tired of flying, they can light in the nest. But the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. You know, when we read the Bible, when we read the scriptures, we don't find any address that Jesus had. All of us have addresses. There are some people in the world today that don't have addresses. I think about the homeless people. And I realize that, you know, some choose to be that way, and perhaps others have no other choice. But Jesus says, I don't have an address. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. Do you really want to follow me? Do you really know what you're saying? You need to give some serious thought about what you just said. That's why in another passage, in the book of Luke, chapter 14, Jesus said, you need to really count up the cost. When we teach people, when we encourage people to follow the Lord, we need to, I believe, share with them what it really means to follow the Lord. Sometimes, and I don't mean to be condemning anyone, but sometimes we try to get people in the water too quick before giving them a chance, an opportunity to consider what they are really saying. It's little wonder that on the day of Pentecost, and I know this all happened in one day, on the day of Pentecost, when you read about those 3,000 souls that were baptized, the Bible says in Acts chapter 2 and verse 40, after Peter had answered the question, what must I do to be saved? Peter says, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins. But that wasn't all those people needed to know. Verse number 40 says, and with many other words did he testify and exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this untoward generation. I believe that some of what Jesus was saying to this man here came into play on the day of Pentecost. You asked the question, what must I do? I'm going to tell you the main thing that you need to do, but there are some other things that you need to know so that once you do obey the Lord, repent, and be baptized for the remission of your sins, you have some idea of what's expected of you. And sometimes we need to, well, not sometimes, but all the time, I believe we need to strive to let people know some other things that are expected of them so that they will, can really make a clear decision as to what they really need to do and do they really need to do it. Because so many times people will get baptized, people will become, quote, followers of the Lord, and before you know it, they're going back. And it may just have been because they didn't really give serious thought. We didn't prompt them to give serious thought of what they want to do. This is what Jesus is doing to this person. He is prompting him to give some serious thought to what you really are saying. There's a cost in following Jesus. Luke chapter 14 that I mentioned already. There's a passage there in verse number 27. The Bible says this, and whosoever does not bear his cross and come after me cannot be my disciples. For which of you, he says, intending to build a tower, sitteth not down first and counteth up the cost, whether he have sufficient to finish it? Lest haply after he has laid the foundation and is not able to finish it, all that behold him or see him, or behold and see this work that he's begun, begin to mock him, saying, this man began to build and was not able to finish. That's the cost in following Jesus. It takes true commitment to be a follower of the Lord. Are you committed? Jesus is saying, I believe, to this man, are you really committed to live like I live? To have the inconveniences that I have? Are you really committed? Again, the foxes, they have dens. They got somewhere to go. The birds have somewhere to go. I don't have anywhere to lay my head. It takes commitment. You see, it's not always convenient to follow Jesus. It's not always easy to follow Jesus. Just to go back to this morning lesson, we talked about some of those things this morning. It's not always easy to love folks. It's not always easy to forgive folks. It's not a convenient thing. But in following the Lord, we must do that. No matter how hard it is, we must come to the point where we can do that. So this is what Jesus wanted this person to know. It's not easy to follow me. I don't have an easy life. So you need to make sure that you really want to commit yourself to following me. So that's point number one. To follow in the steps of Jesus, it takes serious thought. Then when we go a little bit further in the passages, the Bible says in verse number 59, "And he said unto another, follow me. But he said," that is the other that he's talking to, "he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury their dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God." Now, that would sound like Jesus is being real harsh, that he has no, we talked about his compassion this morning, that he has no compassion, that he's not even concerned about this man's or this person's dead relative. But what Jesus is teaching, I believe, in this passage, is that it takes self-sacrifice to follow Jesus. That no matter what it is in this life that we think we need to do or that we think we have to do, we cannot put anything before the Lord. So he wasn't insensitive to the loss that this man had suffered, but he was pointing out again that if you're going to follow me, it takes self-sacrifice. It takes giving up something that is really dear to you or something that you really want to do. And there are a lot of things in life that are really dear to us, a lot of things in life that we want to do, and they are not necessarily wrong within themselves. But if they come between us and what we are supposed to do in the service of our God, then we must be willing to sacrifice those things and do the bidding of the Master. We see Jesus, even in the Garden of Gethsemane in Matthew chapter 26. His life was dear to him as a human being, as a man. His life was dear to him. He was struggling with the idea that he had to go to the cross and give his life on that cross, even though he knew that's why he came into this world. But as a human being, he was struggling with it. It was dear to him. And so he asked the question, rather he made the statement, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. But then he says, nevertheless, not as I will, but thy will be done. You know what he was doing? He was giving up something that was dear to him in order to do the Master's will. So Jesus is saying, your father is dead. I know he's dear to you, but if you truly want to follow me, there are times in this life when you're going to have to give up something that is really dear to you in order to follow me. That's again some teaching, some encouraging that we need to do to people who want to follow the Lord. We need to teach them that there are times in this life that you're going to have to give up some things that are dear to you in order to follow the Lord. And you'll never do that unless you're willing to sacrifice whatever it is that is so dear to you. Nothing, you see, again, must not come before the Lord in our lives. And Jesus made this point again in Luke chapter 14 and verse 26. And perhaps we know this verse so well, or at least know basically what it says. It says, if any man would come after me and do what? Hate not his father and his mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and his own life also, he cannot be my disciple. So, yes, he said to the man, come and follow me. The man says, I'll do that, but let me first go and bury my relative or bury my father. Jesus says, you need to let the dead bury the dead, and you need to go and preach the kingdom of God. You need to sacrifice that thing that is so dear to you, and then you come and do my will. I tell us tonight, brothers and sisters, again, nothing must come between us and the work of the Lord or the service of the Lord and doing his will. So to follow Jesus, number two, to follow in his steps, it takes self-sacrifice. I said this morning about every Sunday, we ought to be in the service. Unless, of course, we are providentially hindered, or if our work schedule takes us away from it. But there are some folks that don't come on Sundays, and I'm not necessarily talking about here, but some folks that don't attend service on Sunday, and perhaps there are some here, but they let something else that's not necessarily wrong within itself take the place of their worship to God. And so they go on trips, or they go to a ball game, or they go on a vacation, or they do whatever it is that's not necessarily wrong within itself. But they put that before God. It takes sacrificing something that's dear to you to do what the Lord has commanded us to do. And unless, again, we're willing to make that self-sacrifice, then we cannot, as Jesus said, we cannot be his disciple. I don't care how we say we want to be, but Jesus said we can't. I take what Jesus say rather than what we say. Won't you? Jesus says you can't be his disciple. And then thirdly, verse number 61. The Bible says this in verse number 61. Put that up there if you will. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go bid them farewell which are at home at my house. Did you hear that? Somebody has come to visit me. They're getting ready to leave. Surely the Lord won't mind me bidding them farewell. And then he'll allow me to come back and follow him. You know what the Bible says in the next verse, number 62? Well, no, let's not go to 62. Let's deal with this verse. This person who said, let me first go and bid them farewell that are at my house, felt like evidently if I don't get to do that, I'm going to miss seeing them off. I'm going to miss something. This is something, again, dear to us. I'm going to miss seeing them off. I need to be there to see them off. And if I'm not there, I'm going to miss seeing them off. Do you not know, and this is the principle that I want us to learn from this verse, talking about following Jesus' step. When you follow Jesus, the devil will try to make you think that you're really missing something. That's why this person wanted to go back and first bid them farewell. Because if I don't go, I'm going to miss seeing them off. I'm going to miss saying bye-bye. The devil wants us to always think that to follow Jesus, you're missing something. You're missing something. Y'all know the story of Lot and his wife? Jesus refers to that story that's found in Genesis chapter 19. In Luke chapter 17, when he's talking about the destruction of Jerusalem that he was talking about. And he says something very interesting, and I want us to look at it. In Luke chapter 17, and verse number 29, look at what the Bible says. But the same day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even thus shall it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that day, he says, he which shall be upon the housetop and his stuff in the house, let him not come down to take it away. And he that is in the field, let him likewise not return back. Return back, he said. Don't let him return back. The stuff on the housetop, you got this other stuff. Don't return back, he says. And the next verse he says, remember Lot's wife. Now, what's the story of Lot's wife? He just related it there. The city is burning down. And she and her husband, they have escaped the city. But she turned and looked back. I wonder why did she look back? I believe because she thought she was going to miss something. She was going to miss something. She wanted to look back and perhaps take that last glance. She didn't want to miss seeing that last glance of the city. But whatever the reason why she looked back, the Bible says she turned to a pillar of salt because she disobeyed the command of the angel that the Lord had given them. And the devil, again, will try to make us think that we are missing something when we follow Jesus. Do you not know that's the very first thing that you find recorded in the Bible as far as sin is concerned? With Mother Eve, if I can call her Mother Eve. In Genesis chapter 3, you know the story. In Genesis chapter 3, verse number 4, the Bible says, and the serpent said unto the woman, ye shall not surely die. He had asked her this question. He came and started questioning her, what the Lord had said to him. And she told him that the day we eat off that tree, we are going to die. That's what the Lord had said. And then he comes in and he says, and you shall not surely die, for God does know that in the day ye eat up thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be gods, knowing good and evil. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, and it was pleasant to the eye, as the scripture says, she ate off. But the devil was trying to make her think that you're going to miss something. You're going to miss being like God. You're going to miss knowing the good and evil. You're going to miss something. If you don't eat off that tree, you're going to miss something. God is trying to withhold something from you. You're going to miss it. And that happens so many times in our lives if we're not careful. In doing the will of God, the devil will tempt us to think that we're going to miss something. That's why, again, sometimes people neglect the assembly because there's something else they want to do. And if they come to the assembly, they're going to miss doing that. And the devil will say, you know it won't hurt. Just one time it won't hurt. How many times is it recorded that she took off that tree? It's only recorded one time. All it takes, brothers and sisters, is one time to disobey the Lord. So don't let the devil make you think you're going to miss something. Just like this person, this man said, Jesus, I'll go with you, but let me first go and bid farewell to them that are at my house. And it's implied that if I don't do that, I'm going to miss seeing them off. And then lastly, the last thing I want to share with you. In verse 62. And Jesus said unto him, no man, this is the same man, and Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. You know what I see in that verse, and I hope you see it too, is that following Jesus is the best investment you can ever make. When he says, no man put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom of heaven, that lets me know and ought to let us know that the kingdom of heaven is more valuable than anything else that could come in our lives. It is of great value. It is of high value. Look at how it's described in Matthew chapter 13 and verse number 44. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he has, and does what? Buy the field. He recognized the value of this treasure. And this is an illustration of what the kingdom of heaven is like. Again, the Bible says, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls, who when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and did what? Bought it. He recognized the value of this great pearl. The kingdom of heaven is likened unto that, Jesus says. So Jesus says now, if you put your hand to the plow, you want to follow me, but yet you want to look back, yet you want to go back and bid farewell to them that are at your house, you are not fit for the kingdom of heaven. You are underestimating the value of following me. Following Jesus, church, is the best investment that one can make. It will never lose its value. Heaven will never lose its value. It's not subject to the rise and the fall of the stock market. It doesn't depreciate like our old jalopy cars do. Heaven keeps its value. And so again, we should let nothing come between us and following Jesus. It's worth everything to follow Jesus. So let us then do whatever it takes to follow Jesus. We'll never regret it if we follow Jesus. But you know, it's something interesting again about this story of these scenarios here. The Bible does not really specifically say whether these men took Jesus' advice or not. We don't know whether this man that he says you need to really think about what you're doing, whether he really considered it and followed Jesus. Perhaps it could be implied that he did. We don't know whether the one whom he said, let the dead bury the dead, you go and preach the kingdom. We don't know whether he really did that or not. Certainly it would imply that the last one we talked about perhaps did not follow Jesus, because he said, you're not even fit. If you got that attitude, you're not fit for the kingdom of heaven. But be that as it may, we don't have to worry about them. Who we need to be concerned about is us. Whether we're going to take serious consideration in following Jesus, whether we're going to make the self-sacrifice, whether we're not going to allow the devil to make us think that we are missing something, and whether we're going to make the best investment in doing what Jesus teaches us to do so that heaven can be ours. I hope that we'll make the best investment. Again, we'll never regret it in the end. Our reward will be great. Let's follow Jesus. Let's conform to his image. And let's follow him all the way. There's a song, and I won't quote it tonight, but we know it. It has a phrase in it, a stanza in it that would say, I'll go with him all the way. That's what we need to be about the business of doing. Going with Jesus all the way. Yes, it's inconvenient sometimes, but I'll go with Jesus. Yes, I got to make some self-sacrifices. Matter of fact, he says, unless I do that, I can't go with it. So yes, I got to sacrifice things that are dear to me, but I'm going to do it. And I know the devil is going to throw up time and time again. You're missing this. You're missing that. You could be doing that. You could be doing the other. I know the devil is going to tempt me with that, but I'm not going to yield to it. I'm going to miss it so that I can follow Jesus. And I know that because heaven is the greatest investment, that when I put my hand to the plow, and I'm saying this for me, and I hope all of you are saying that for yourself, that when I put my hand to the plow, I'm not going to look back, but I'm going to keep charging ahead. Paul said it like this in Philippians chapter 3. He says, forgetting those things that are behind and reaching forth to those things that are before. He says, I press on for the mark of the prize of the high calling, which is in Christ Jesus. Church, we got to keep pressing on. Don't allow anything to cause us to look back. What we're looking for is ahead. Heaven is ahead. It's not back. It's ahead of us. So we need to keep pressing on. I hope these words then tonight have encouraged us to be what we ought to be as we conform to the image of Jesus by following the principles that we've talked about in these passages so that we'll make sure that we follow his steps. If you need to obey the Lord tonight, we want to encourage you to do that. You need to be baptized in water for the remission of sins. I want to encourage you to do that. If you find yourself like some of these scenarios, not really wanting to give it up for Jesus, I hope and trust that you'll change your mind and do the right thing. That's called repentance. Or if you just need prayer, whatever your need is tonight, we're going to stand now. We're going to sing. I'm going to encourage you to come.
Weary, emptied out, Lord, of care.